Hi, everybody. Drake Hill here. Hair, How I Grew It, is back. Before I start, I have to thank everyone who has encouraged me to keep going after my recent cancellation. You've texted, emailed me, and posted on social media. My heart is so full. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, I was canceled. The crowdfunding company called Buy Me a Coffee shut down my account because it considers Hair, How I Grew It, adult content. Of course, that's ridiculous. Hair, How I Grew It is not profane, obscene, or inappropriate. It's a safe space for Black women to share our truths about our natural hair journeys, which are often raw, emotional, and heartbreaking. So yeah, there's cursing sometimes, but it is warranted. I refuse to censor my guests. Please continue to listen and share Hair, How I Grew It with folks you know. More listeners mean more sponsors that will help generate the dollars I need to bring you more great stories. Stories like today's show, which features a blast from my Ohio University past. This sister and I were just babies when we became Bobcats. Since we're both from Cleveland, we bonded right away. Who knew more than 30 years later, we'd both rock naturals? We lost touch for a while, then recently I saw that she started a podcast. I can't wait for you to hear about it and hear about her 20-plus year journey to her best natural and gray hair life. Hair, How I Grew It Season 3 starts right now.
And I did not have an awakening until I had my daughter. And I realized as I'm doing her hair and all of these different makeshift things that I did, whether I was at the dorm at OU or going into work feeling like, should I be wearing my natural hair or should I be doing this? And then one day at 40, I just grew all my hair out and it was natural. And I started, of course, going back to straightening it a little bit, but it wasn't until I turned 50 that I realized I was like, I have a decent grade of hair. And then by that time, it was probably 75% gray. I was like, I don't care. I'm not gonna do anything to my hair but let it just be from the roots to where it is. And so I just wear it natural. Sometimes I straighten it out, but other times I don't care. I wear every style. Bantu knots, braids, ponytails, buns, side ponytails, where they say women of 50 shouldn't be wearing these things. Who says? Who says? So I'll just wear it any old kind of way I want to, as long as it's groomed and it's in good condition. Good condition in my eyes. Healthy, strong, viable. Yeah. But I wasn't always in that space, friend, because people always looked at me about how I wear my hair. And sometimes we conform. But acceptance for self is more than acceptance from others.
Welcome to Hair, How I Grew It. I'm host and producer Drake Hill Burns. I started this podcast because Black hair matters.
Hello, my dear friend. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you, sweetie?
I'm doing good. This feels like old times at OU, right?
I know, right?
On today's show, I interview Tanya Turner. Talking to Tanya really did seem like old times, because back when we were broadcast journalism students at Ohio University, we often talked for hours, ready to conquer the world. Tanya is currently a human resources director based in the Atlanta, Georgia area.
How does your hair texture feel to you?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. So I have a very wavy, curly texture. And I know that they assign like different texture names to that, but it's very wavy and curly.
And how does it feel?
It actually feels is very soft. It's a very soft texture. And it's not always easy to manage, but it's a very soft texture.
Okay. And how are you typically wearing your hair from day to day? How do you typically wear it now?
Right now, I have it in a curly bun with little trinkets that come down. But I wear my hair all different types of ways, but it's definitely natural. So in a bun, a curly bun, braids, all different types. But today I'm actually wearing it with just wavy trinkets coming down and in a bun.
Okay. Now, when you say braids, do you mean braid add-ins or you actually braid your own hair or both?
I do both.
So let's go back to your hair beginnings. What did your father do when you were growing up for a living?
My father worked at General Motors, working as a blue-collar worker, and he also had his degree in accounting, so he did taxes during the tax season.
Okay. What did your mom do when you were growing up?
She was a chemist at Sherwin-Williams.
Wow, I did not know that. Okay. Any siblings, brothers, sisters?
I have an older brother who works at General Motors, too, so they have some lineage that's going on there because our grandfather worked there as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. So we got the whole mom, dad, beautiful home, beautiful family. Brother comes first and then Tanya, gorgeous, comes out. And, you know, once you get to, I'd say, about toddler years, your baby hair, for the most part, is gone. And for mothers, particularly Black mothers, you have to decide, okay, how am I going to manage this child's hair? So from your recollection, how did your mom do your hair early on? Did she leave it natural? Did she immediately start pressing and curling it? Or did she go straight to the kitty perm? What do you remember? How did mom take care of your hair?
Now, this is what I remember, friend, is that my mother let me wear my natural hair. So my hair was natural for the better part of my childhood. And sometimes she would probably press out my hair when it was picture day. Oh, that picture day. But for the most part, it was just in its natural state.
Okay. Now you said, oh, that picture day. Why that? Why say it like that?
Well, the reason why I said it like that, because it was always just a big episode in the household because I was tender-headed. So I would ask her, can I wear my hair straight? Probably conforming a little bit and say, I want to wear my hair straight because I want to see how long it is. And she would allow me to do that. But for the majority of that part, I was wearing my hair in its natural state, like the afro puffs, the bun, the twist, all of those different things. But on picture day, I would sometimes wear my hair straight. So that would be the hot comb. My ear has been burned many a time from the sizzling of the hot comb. I used to just be afraid of it, to be honest, Drake Hill. I was like, oh my God. But I love the end results of it. But it was an all day experience. It wasn't something that I actually enjoyed doing. It was just something that I saw maybe at school. I can't even recollect why I gravitated towards that because the women in my family had all different types of hair. And that's kind of what they did. Some of them did and some of them did not. They had curly hair. Like my dad had beautiful hair. So I saw women at all walks of life. And one of the things that I saw was women straightening their hair. So it was customary that that's the way you're supposed to wear your hair. But as a child, you would wear your natural hair. So for me, I just kind of gravitated towards that on picture day because I thought that that was what would make me look really cute to take my picture.
Before college, Tanya attended predominantly white Catholic schools.
I did not understand, friend, like the grade of my hair at the time. Because I didn't know that my hair was so wavy and curly. I knew I grew up like that, but I don't know what the turn of events was. And so when I got to high school, that's when I got my first perm. Like I actually permed my hair and I remember it like it was yesterday. The lady who permed my hair, my scalp is so sensitive. I remember it looked beautiful, but oh, if you were to look at the scalp, it was like sores and things like that because, you know, I can't even remember if she put the grease in my hair to help you with the perm, but I remember just like, oh my God, like, am I going to have to go through this? And so through high school, I would go ahead and get a perm, let it just grow out.
Did you need to keep going back to keep it straight? Because you said your hair texture is soft. How often would you go?
I don't remember going very often. It wasn't like a ritual where I was going to get a perm. It was just I had a regular standing appointment just to get my hair done. So that was one of the things that my mother went to go get her hair done. She found me somebody who could do my hair, and because we had two textures of hair, and she let me go to that person, and that was just like a regular thing. And plus, you're in high school, so you want to look cute, you want to look a certain way. I mean, you're wearing uniforms every day, so you can't differentiate yourself from anybody else other than your accessories, and that was
Exactly.
your hair.
Exactly. So how often would you go? Were you going every 2 weeks? I know for me, I would go every 2 weeks to get it washed. And then for me, every 4 weeks or 6 weeks to get the relaxer. So were you going every 2 weeks and she would do a relaxer whenever she thought you needed one?
Yeah, and I was finding too, like as you're bringing it back, because these are all things that you can't always recollect, like where was the starting point?
Right.
I felt like the beautician probably was recommending more relaxer than just allowing it to grow out. And for me, I just wasn't educated at the time. So I just liked the way it made my hair look, but I didn't like the feeling afterwards and the need. It's almost like you got hooked on the hook to go and get it, because when you had new growth, you had to straighten out that new growth. And I never realized, well, it's like, Tanya, do you really need to get a perm? I didn't realize that until I got a lot older.
And that's why they call it the creamy crack. You're listening to Hair, How I Grew It. I'm host and producer Drake Hill Burns. Today, I'm talking to Tanya Turner. She is a human resources director. More hair talk in a bit. First, here's an excerpt from my book, Cleveland's Crown Angels. It's a supernatural adventure rooted in my natural hair journey. When I finally dozed off, the most beautiful man I'd ever seen came to me in a dream. His 6'2" frame, smooth, cocoa-hued skin that glistened with an aqua sheen, toned and sculpted muscles, but not too bulky, a perfect pearly white smile that illuminated his ruggedly handsome face, expressive brown eyes, and stunning, sparkling lion's mane blew me away. Long, thick chocolate locks, each one as thick as a cigar and adorned with diamond-sized water crystals, hung down his back to his waist. Barefoot and dressed only in loose black silk shorts that stopped at the knees, his back, chest with a sprinkling of coily stubble, and calves were on full display. I wondered if those coils were the same down to what looked like the endowment of the century. My sleepy eyes adjusted to the Adonis standing in the middle of my bedroom. Am I dreaming? Who are you? I stammered. I'm Samson, your natural hair guardian angel. His voice was sexy, seductive. If I'd known I'd get you, I would have gone natural sooner. I did a mental fist pump because deep down, I'd always suspected Samson was a black man. Cleveland's Crown Angels is available as an ebook on Amazon. Now we're going to jump into college where you and I meet. And I was trying to remember, did we meet at Lynx, you know, the program that the pre-college program that helps us get adjusted to college life? Did we meet at Lynx or do you remember?
We did.
Okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Okay. All righty. So you come to school and I mean, was hair one of the first things on your mind? How did you deal with your hair at school? Because just FYI for you, I did go home. Because I was a little panicked, how am I going to make it work? But I would go home every 6 weeks, home being Cleveland, to get it done. What did you do?
I would go home during the breaks. But eventually what I started learning is that people had these little beauty shops that they would make up in the dorm room. And then we may have had maybe one person that came in that did my hair in Athens that was a black stylist, and she did an excellent job, and she would do my perms and stuff like that. But all I remember, because I even have a picture, I was talking to a friend of mine where I was just getting my perm done and my hair was wet and water was just dripping down my back, And so it would just be these makeshift beauty shops where you would find somebody who could do it, or you would wait until you would go home. So mine was a hodgepodge. This is where I actually cut my hair off. I did the big chop while I was in school. When I was about 20, 21, I cut all my hair off. It was probably all the way down my back, and I just cut it off into like a Halle Berry pixie cut.
I remember that cut on Tanya. She sported the look in our graduation photos. Unfortunately, I couldn't find those pictures, but I did find one with us at a Delta Sigma Theta formal with straight hair, thanks to the creamy crack. Check out the photo on the Hair How I Grew It Instagram page at Keep It Nat.
So you also put in your own relaxers too?
Yeah, I learned how to do it a couple times myself when I was at that desperate stage. I remember those times. I didn't do it very often. I didn't trust myself with that because I really didn't. But I would actually do other people's relaxers too. Just reading the instruction, making sure that you put the ointment into their scalp so that it doesn't burn, smoothing it out with the comb. So I remember doing a lot of those things because it would be me from time to time doing it for other people.
So whether you were doing it for yourself or whether you had someone do it for you, did the burning ever stop for you, or always was uncomfortable? You just wanted to get to the end result.
It was the end result for me. I used to think or subscribe or conform to beauty is pain. And of course, I'm free from that. But yeah, if I had had half the sense of what I had right now, I would have never even permed my hair.
What? Honey, no judgment for me, because my pain, the scabs that would litter my scalp. I burned every, I don't even remember a time where I did not burn. I don't remember a time. I burned every single time.
And I don't care how much you didn't scratch your scalp or you did a lot of prep, or it never turned out. I never could say that when I did get a perm. And for me personally, the painful journey of that is the women who did the perm, no disrespect, no shade, they didn't care. You got to let it sit in longer. You got to let it do. Did you scratch your scalp? Like, you're having conversations with me while my scalp is burning. And as I look back to that person, that young woman who was trying to subscribe to the beauty, I feel sorry for her because she was not aware. And nor were people educating her. So thank God for evolution.
Amen. Can we just take a moment?
Amen. And I can really have a conversation, a wholehearted sister conversation with some of those women with the distasteful things that they would say when you would go to the beauty shop for, you know, camaraderie, to learn, to watch, because you did a lot of watching and a lot of waiting because you were in there all day. Don't know why. And I just say to that woman, to that young woman who didn't know any better, forgive yourself and move on. Yeah, that's what I did.
Now, you mean the young woman as in you forgive yourself, or the person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I did, because ignorance is just too expensive. And I paid the price for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, praise God for maturity and growth. And, you know, let's be clear. None of us knew. You know what I mean? None of us knew. We wouldn't have the benefit of the education and the knowledge that we have and the products. I mean, well, we'll get to that later. But none of us knew. So, yeah, forgive yourself. I totally agree. Okay, so this is college. So what made you get to the big chop? Was your hair not healthy? What was that about?
I think what made me get to the big chop is that at that time I was dating my daughter's father, and I was like, I love short hair. I have always loved it. And I think what I, as I sit back and reminisce, because this kind of brings up a lot of things that I was going through, is that I always felt like I was a byproduct of my hair. You know, everybody was like, keep your hair long, don't cut it. Make sure you do this. So it was all of this misinformation. And I just got to the point where I just didn't want to be defined by my hair. And I wanted to discover, like, what was the texture to reinvent what was the texture of my hair again. Because after you're getting those perms, you still have that texture, but it does change, right? And so for me, I got the big chop because it's number one, is what I wanted to do. I wanted to rediscover. I had somebody who can actually cut my hair and I didn't have to go home like every 6 weeks. And I was able to better manage my hair. And when I saw the grade of my hair again, I just wasn't aware. That's when I was like, maybe I might need to just go natural. And that's when I started rediscovering, saying, you know, during that time, I don't remember going natural at that time, but I'm rediscovering that I was on the journey right there as I was getting ready to graduate from college.
Okay, mm-hmm. So as you're about to graduate, you've done the big chop, so you've got short hair, but you're still relaxing.
I am at that time letting the relaxer grow out and eventually just wearing my wavy and my curly hair from time to time. And maybe just straightening it so I'm not permanent anymore. And this is, I think, around my junior year, at the end of my junior year, as I'm going back into my natural state.
Okay, so now you've cut it, the big chop, but obviously you've got that little bit of new growth at the end. You're letting that grow out. And mm-hmm. if you're straightening it in between with what, a hot comb, flat iron, what are you doing?
I'm doing with I'm blow drying it and doing it with a flat iron.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Or a curling iron at the time.
You're listening to Hair, How I Grew It. I'm host and producer Drake Hill Burns. Back to Tanya Turner after a short break.
So you're using tools as opposed to chemicals to straighten it as it's growing out. So you graduate, and if I'm missing anything, just stop me, with this in between. So yeah, you're natural, you're still straightening, and you graduate, and then what? I mean, first job, are you thinking I'm going to go with curly hair? What's going on? Or what was your first job after school?
Well, I did, when I first got here, I was doing an internship at Channel 5 because I had my degree in journalism, broadcast news. And then somehow I just ended up doing some temporary work and I fell into human resources.
Okay, so Channel 5, so you went back home to Cleveland then?
No, I actually was here in Atlanta. I moved after I graduated from college in Athens, Ohio. I moved to Georgia.
Oh, you went straight to Georgia. I didn't know you went straight mm-hmm. to Atlanta. Okay, so you go there. All righty. So you're in TV for a minute, then did some temp work, and then you got into human resources, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. So human resources, that's unlike television production, that's your office environment, yes. Are you thinking about hair? What are you doing?
Well, I always thought about my hair. I think I had more awareness of my hair ever before. So at the time when I still moved down here, I was wearing my hair semi-straight. Next thing I know, I was wearing it completely natural. And it was just a curly little afro. It was wavy. I wore it all different types of ways, but I kept it very short, which means it was curly and stuff all on the sides, but in the back it was tapered. And I wore that style from when I was maybe in my 20s until I turned 40.
Wow.
And then I grew my hair all the way out.
So basically, wow. So when did you get to the point? So, okay. let me think about this because I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but I'm just trying to see.
Yes,
so
okay.
When you graduate, you're in Atlanta and your hair is short, you're still straightening. Do you remember when? And if you don't, that's fine. Or you just kind of one day you just realize I'm just not going to straighten it anymore. And you just wore it natural. You know what I mean? Without doing the bumping and the pressing. Or did you sometimes, you know, take out the hot iron and press it from time to time?
I was in a hybrid of what I was doing with my hair. And then just one day when I woke up and saw, you know, how my hair was turning out, I was like, okay, I can work with this. And I was still discovering. And the next thing you know, I was having my daughter and I was about 27 years old. And the next thing you know, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna wear my hair the way God intended me to wear it. I'm tired of going to these hairdressers who are telling me I need to straighten it out, that they couldn't do my hair, that really wasn't a money-making mechanism for them because I wasn't permanent because that's where the money was.
Wait a minute. They would tell you that?
Yes, they would not want to do my hair. Yeah. I got a lot of hairdressers that when they found out my hair was going natural and all it was a $10 cut, that wasn't a money-making mechanism. It was the perms. It was the colors. I mean, and I did all types of, you know, a little bit of coloring in my hair from time to time, but I was really just going there for you just to taper the back or maybe cut the top of my hair because it had grown too long. But I wasn't trying to go in there to go get an all out. Maybe I wanted to add more hair or I was trying to braid my hair. I wasn't, when I go to the cash register, they wasn't cashing out on me. And so a lot of women was like, hey, look, you know, would you ever consider just going back and just doing a perm? You know, your hair would be, no, I had already made the decision that I chose that I was going to be natural going forward. What's ironic about this, I know this is not about my daughter. My daughter has never, she's 27 or will be 27. It's not ironic when I decided, probably around 27-ish. She's never had any perms or anything done to her hair. She's worn her hair straight, but for the most part, she's been completely natural. She's done braids, protective styles. But for me, because when I was growing up, I was raised by baby boomers, right? And that's how they looked at things. Your hair is supposed to be this way. They assign to the societal ways of how you're supposed to look. And that's how they were going to work. And that's how what I was taught, that you need to go to work with your hair straight, this, that. And I was saying to myself, I was been a rebel to a certain degree. People don't know that about me. I was like, why am I doing this?
So then you have your daughter and you're like, you're not going to pass that down to her.
I'm not going to make her wear her hair. Her hair is beautiful. Her hair is beautiful, whatever it looks like to anybody who sees it. Or for me, the reason why I say it's beautiful, because she has never put anything in it other than her own hair. Now, she may have gotten braids and things like that. She may have added more hair, but she has never put anything in her hair, not like the things that I've done. But I feel like it was groupthink for me. And it was a definition of beauty that I did not really understand. And I did not have an awakening until I had my daughter. And I realized as I'm doing her hair and all of these different makeshift things that I did, whether I was at the dorm at OU or going into work feeling like, should I be wearing my natural hair or should I be doing this? And then one day at 40, I just grew all my hair out and it was natural. And I started, of course, going back to straightening it a little bit. But it wasn't until I turned 50 that I realized I was like, I have a decent gray of hair. And then by that time, it was probably 75% gray. I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything to my hair but let it just be from the roots to where it is. And so I just wear it natural. Sometimes I'll straighten it out, but other times I don't care. I wear every style, Bantu knots, braids, ponytails, buns, side ponytails, where they say women of 50 shouldn't be wearing these things. Who says? So I'll just wear it any old kind of way I want to, as long as it's groomed and it's in a good condition in my eyes, healthy, strong, viable. Yeah. But I wasn't always in that space, friend, because people always looked at me about how I wear my hair. And sometimes we conform. But acceptance for self is more than acceptance from others.
I'm so proud of you. Okay. That's a good place to take a break. I'm going to send you another link.
Okay.
Tanya loves her gray today, but it took her a minute to warm up to it.
I was subscribing to the way that it's supposed to look like. And then also I wanted to continue to, you know, I've always had a baby face that, you know, to go gray would make me look a lot older, but I didn't realize that it would make me look so much more mature and so much more beautiful as an individual because I'm embracing what God gave me. So a lot of people have said, I love your gray. I love how you wear your hair. And then I've gotten commentary from other individuals like, are you going to let your hair go gray? Or you're not coloring your hair anymore? But these are the individuals that are still coloring their hair. And that is acceptable because everybody has to, friend, go through their journey. And I had to go through mine. And I didn't want anybody poking me in my back or giving judgment, although they did. And they said some hurtful things. it really made me just be more self-aware. And I think once I start thinking about my confidence, once I start working on my inner self, about my triggers, my traumas, my insecurities, my doubts, that's when I really was coming into the world saying, it doesn't matter what I wear, it doesn't matter what my hair is looking like, I'm comfortable in the skin that I am in. And specifically, when you have loss, and then you start realizing, if I were to leave this world today, what will people be talking about? My hair or what I wore? They would be talking about my character and who I was as a mother and a woman and as an individual. And those are the things that I feel are more important than my hair. But I'm going to still rock my fabulous hair until the end of time. And if it's going to be 100% gray, I'm going to rock that too.
I don't want to give the haters any room or any space unnecessarily, but I am curious, you said hurtful things. What were some of the hurtful things that they would say are you talking about when you would go to the stylist and they're trying to get you to, you know, relax their hair so they can make some money? Or are you talking about some other stuff?
No, I always grew up, my dad had always told me, people are going to always have something to say. You know, there's a lot of things when it comes to hair in our communities and outside of the communities. And people would talk about how long my hair was or how I thought that I was off. I never felt that way about myself. I never thought I was better then. But there were always things about how long my hair was or the texture of my hair. And I never really understood that. And those are the conversations that my dad or our dad would sit down and talk to us about. And I didn't understand that until I actually started going to school and people would say hurtful things about my hair or the texture of my hair. And I can't even remember all of the things that they say, but they would say, oh, you just think that way because you have long hair, or your hair, you don't have to worry about those things because you have this type of gray of hair. And I'm saying to myself, it doesn't really matter to me about the gray that I have. I see all kinds of women where I'm like, wow, what did you do to your hair? I mean, it's just beautiful all the way around. But I feel like sometimes people, I don't know if it was not awakening for themselves, but it always made me feel a certain type of way of the length of my hair and the texture of my hair, that I always felt like I wasn't included. And that was hard to bear. And they would say some hurtful things to me. And I think that I buried it so deep down inside of me that I don't remember every little thing, but I remember it was said and I remember how it made me feel.
Well, I will share this with you. One of my guests had a hair texture, soft, long, wavy texture. And she said, you know, Drakeheel, people that I grew up with, they just would dismiss me because they just would assume if I complained about my hair, it's, you know, like it was difficult because she had thick hair and it was difficult to manage. But they would just dismiss her like, well, you know, whatever, because you have, you know, quote unquote, maybe good hair or whatever. And mm-hmm. She said she would think like she didn't know what to do with that because it was hurtful. And so listening to you say that, it sounds like the same thing. Just jealousy, quite frankly, and just the issues that we, you know, as a people, Tanya, we've got so many things. I can't even, I can go on for days.
And a lot of times too, because of the texture of my hair and because the features, some of the things I have, people would ask me if I was biracial or another race. No, I'm Black. Yeah, I have things, a lot of different ethnicities in my family, but I am Black. And so people would find it hard and they would want to approach me and they would ask me oftentimes without asking me touch my hair, ask me what I did to my hair, ask me if I've had people who have asked me things if I was biracial, they've said other things that I don't think that they were fully educated and aware of their hurtful stereotypes. And there would be a lot of hair discrimination. And I would say things about my hair where sometimes I have Chaka Khan hair. It's just everywhere. Like sometimes I just have to gather it up and people are like, I don't even know why you're even complaining about your hair. I have moments where I have bad hair days. My hair is not cooperating. I have things that I have to do to my hair. But people don't understand that. They just see it from their vantage point, but they don't also see it from the vantage point that I'm still having to deal with the essence of my hair and the evolution of my hair. So hurtful at best, but it taught me a valuable lesson that if I have to stand alone on this journey, I don't have a problem with that either. But before I had subscribed to it, because like I said, I went to all girls school when I was in high school and there would be some hurtful things that would be said. At that time, I don't bring this up to be crass, but I was the prom queen, and I didn't think I was going to win prom queen. I did not. I was in a majority Caucasian high school, but because I was well-liked, and then I was so worried about how am I going to wear my hair, and how am I going to look, and what am I going to wear, and I look at those things, and I say to the girl then, and the grown woman now, I say to myself, like, girl, that stuff don't even really matter in the grand scheme of things. You worrying about the wrong thing. Not even friends with half of those girls. They know me. And that seat that I'm sitting in, it holds no weight at 53. Nobody cares. You know, nobody is interested in those things. And so I was worried about the wrong thing for the majority of my life because of the things that I saw and the things that people made me think were important, and they weren't. They weren't. And I also feel like people make you think about what is beautiful on a woman. And that's a whole mystery as well. And it's not facts. It's not truth. It's fraudulent, quite frankly. So, yeah.
The guest I brought up is my Delta Sigma Theta sorority sister, Nichelle Smith. Listen to Hair, How I Grew It, episode 35, to hear Nichelle's natural hair journey. Before I get back to my conversation with Tanya, I have to share this. When I was young, the good hair, bad hair thinking poisoned me. Me with my natural, dense, tightly coiled, often described as kinky hair, once thought that hair like Tanya's and Nichelle's was better, more accepted than mine. There's even a big production about this tool used to divide Black people in Spike Lee's classic School Days. Thank God for my growth and my maturity, but I know that poison still exists, still divides us, and that hurts. Now, the new podcast in Tanya's life. It is a page turner.
I've done a lot of writing, I've done a lot of reading, and I've done a lot of living. And so on the cusp of when our dad passed away in February of 2022, this just came to me, the page turner. I wanted to do something to really reflect on the legacy of our name and to also talk a little bit about my journey, whether it's my hair, my professional journey, my professional journey as well, personal journey, my motherhood game, just everything, my highs, my lows, my failures, and all of the in between. So the project has started in November of 2022, and I've been doing podcasts, maybe two podcasts every month, and they talk about everything and anything that's on your quest to personal and professional development and finding the beauty from within. It doesn't matter who you are. You can just be a good human. It's focused on women, but it's focused on people. And I actually do this out on LinkedIn too. I'm just living my journey out loud and just loving my hair too in the process.
The Page Turner podcast is available on Spotify. Here's Tanya's hair care routine. The Cleveland native uses Miss Jessie's products. She co-washes every other day. Co-wash means she doesn't use shampoo. Tanya only uses a conditioner to cleanse her strands. Every day, she adds leave-in conditioner from her roots and edges to her ends. Twice a week, Tanya deep conditions. In between co-washes, the Bobcat keeps her hair and scalp moisturized with almond and biotin oils, and she detangles her strands with her fingers. At night, Tanya puts her hair up in a messy bun and wears a bandana to bed. For styling, she keeps her buns in place with edge control products and uses a toothbrush to control her wild grays. When I asked Tanya if she's ever worn wigs or weaves, she said no and doesn't plan to. She has her hair blown out sometimes for a change or to get a trim.
Is there anything that I didn't ask, anything you wished I asked, anything you want to add, anything that I missed?
I did want to add the fact that sometimes I read this book. I just want to introduce this book. This is a book that I saw on Instagram. It's called I'm Not Yelling, A Black Woman's Guide to Navigating the Workplace. And it does have a chapter in there about your natural hair. And I want to just kind of introduce this to people because I struggled going into the workplace, whether it was wearing my nose ring that I got at 50 or wearing braids or my gray hair or my natural hair. I found myself straightening it more often than not because that was kind of acceptable. And that's what people defined as beautiful. Don't know why. But then I also struggled with the fact that I actually liked it a little bit. But now I'm actually going into work and I'm just wearing it however I choose to. And maybe people may raise an eyebrow and say, oh, she's wearing her hair. But I feel most beautiful when I'm in that position. And I encourage anyone, any good person, to do the same. Stop overthinking about how the perception is for the person and really start thinking about the person who is actually doing it, which is you. And do you feel beautiful? Do you accept it? Because to me, quite frankly, we should not be living for the acceptance or the opinions of other individuals. And so I wanted to just kind of share that, Drakeel, because that was something a lot of women come to me and they ask me about that. Should I be wearing my hair like this? How should I be wearing it in an interview? And I feel like it's a real talk track. And we should just be honest about what that looks like, because there is still judgment in this world about and hair discrimination for African-American women about how they wear their hair. And I just love to see it. I love to see the beauty, the difference, the textures, the confidence that come behind that. But we still live in a world where there's still judgment.
Yes, there is still judgment. But I am so grateful for sisters like Tanya, who sit in the HR space and push back against it. Thank you for listening to Hair, How I Grew It. I'm host and producer Drakeel Burns. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review. Follow Hair, How I Grew It on Facebook and X. Follow on Instagram at Keep It Nat and tell me what you think of the show. Until next time, keep it natural.